Do you struggle to feel close to God in the middle of your hectic, stressful days? When your mind is racing, prayer can feel like just another task instead of a place to rest. Discover a new way to connect with God in Prayer in Motion by Jennifer Tucker. This beautiful guide helps you weave prayer into your everyday routines through simple movements, grounding practices, and connection tools. Even in the middle of your busy life, God is near, inviting you to rest in His presence. Prayer in Motion is available now wherever books are sold.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back in. Second hour starting up now. Before we get going, I'll give a shout out to Miguel Rivera at MikeD249 on Twitter. Says, yo, my dudes, can I get a quick shout out? Everybody wants a shout out.
I know.
Black man, come on, y'all need a shout out.
Like this is the box or something.
But he's listening to the show while getting a root canal. That's impressive.
That's dedication. Yeah. That's what you call.
At least he hopes he gets the root canal.
He's going to wake up. That colonoscopy was great, man. Thought I was going to get some teeth pulled and woke up in the parking lot next to some dude named Renee.
All on and everything.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
I had to get two root canals. Slept through both of them.
I had one, but I was awake, though.
Because
I'm a man.
Oh, I fell asleep. It didn't bother me at all. Like, I've never had a problem going to the dentist. That's the one thing that didn't bother me.
Yeah. But why'd they knock you out then?
They didn't.
Oh, I thought you
like,
said...
I fell asleep. Like, they just deadened the mouth and did all
that.
Oh,
and you just, but you it just didn't took a nap. You took a nap.
Yeah, I just took a nap. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, okay. Twice. I don't know why. It's weird.
Do you snore? Because that could have been annoying.
No, I don't think I was like in REM sleep getting a root canal, but I like dozed off.
And you don't think there's a sex video you out there somewhere? Okay.
Wake up. Is that a tongue depressor? What is that in my mouth? Don't worry about it. Hit him with the gas.
Call him back to sleep. It's just a regular nap you're taking.
Why is that pocket watch? Is he trying to hypnotize me? So Patrick Randall wanted to name your pornos. So he's got a couple of good ones. He has Armageddon on. That's not bad. I like that. Little People, Big Jerome. This is my favorite, though. How this has not been a porn that's actually made it a real... He said The Hills Have Thighs. My God, that is beautiful.
I bet you there is.
You think there's been a...
There would have to be. That's too good.
The Hills Have Thighs?
Yeah.
Oh, that is so good, Patrick.
I do like yours, though. It's way better than your Kirby. Whatever that crap you said about Kirby. Mending uh-oh. That's kind of funny.
Okay. I redeemed myself, bro. Is that what you're telling
me? That's pretty good. All right. That's good. Not too bad at all. Wait, no... I'm hearing here, I'm going to take a detour here.
Okay.
Fred Williams on Twitter says, you've not seen Black Panther?
No, I haven't.
I have.
Okay, you know what?
You and Donald Trump, the only two people in America that haven't seen Black Panther.
That is not true. Guess what else I haven't seen? Every other white movie that's came out in the last 15 years. I don't go to movies. I wait until they either hit Netflix or on demand on UVerse
when's the last time you went to a movie theater?
The last time I went to a movie theater, I was on the road in Wichita, bored. So I went and saw Deadpool when it came out. Mm-hmm. That was the last movie I went and saw. And in fact, I told my wife, because my wife, she doesn't like theaters. Like they weird her out. Last time we went to a movie, she had a panic attack in the theater. So we don't go to movies.
Is that because of the videos she's done?
No, don't you dare. No, that's just because she's just
the wrong kind of theaters, dude.
I don't want no popcorn.
They don't even have popcorn this year, baby.
I'm not falling for that popcorn thing the seventh time. You got me at home. You got me at the T-ball game. I'm not falling for that again.
Why is there a hole in the stall?
That's why she didn't let me go get the pizza either. I come home, pizza's here. Open the box and no, she won't let me. No, but I never go to movies. So,
I can understand.
And it's a lot because of her, but two, I just don't go. But on the road, like when I'm bored, my plan was I'll probably go see Black Panther because I'll be in Tulsa in like 2 weeks. Although I don't think that they'll have Black Panther in Tulsa. That doesn't sound like a movie that would be imported to Tulsa.
There are black people in Tulsa. Really? Yeah, I mean, they tried to kill them all back in 1919 when they had the huge riots and burned down the whole black area. But no, they still live
there. So
there
are black. Oh, okay. All right. I'll go see it then.
And
it'll be there.
They eat barbecue bologna. So
what?
Oh, Lord.
It's
disgusting.
Barbecue bologna.
I know we got people from Oklahoma out there who learn how to work the radio. They're probably listening.
I think you're reaching.
It's an Oklahoma thing. And it ain't
barbecue bologna.
It ain't even like the thin bologna. You
like
know,
the slices.
Fried it. No.
Because like, my wife loves fried bologna.
This is like, this is like thick. This, ooh.
No.
Ooh.
And they barbecue it? Like spam? Like a spam bologna almost?
Yeah, it's awful. No.
I've never heard of that in my life.
I saw it once and refused to even go there. It was bad.
Now,
somebody needs to explain exactly what it is. But
it looks more appealing than it probably tastes, but it doesn't look that bad.
Does it look like spam? I gotta Google this. Barbecue, I don't even know how to spell bologna. I know it's not how it sounds.
Maybe I haven't seen it. Because it's not sausage, it's bologna. It's like big, thick, it's disgusting.
Yeah, that doesn't look good at all.
They try to make it look like a meat pineapple. It looks
why do they
in the picture
why
than,
do they put the
I
lines
do.
Like it's a meat pineapple? Why is that that ain't you're not fooling anybody. Yeah. I know that's bologna that you just threw on the grill. Cheap ass.
And I probably had a bad batch of it or something too.
I'm pretty sure all the batches of barbecue bologna are bad.
Yeah, scroll down and like look at some of this on a bun. Like who would eat this?
Yeah, that's
like,
gross.
Yo,
that's a big ass thing
of
bologna.
That's an Oklahoma thing.
Yeah. Is it really?
Big, thick, old ooze. Ugh. Not good.
No, that of all the things to barbecue, bologna, that's pretty low on the list. It has to be.
I wouldn't waste my
I'm glad you said
that.
This because I'm going to be there in about 2 weeks, and I'm sure somebody would try to trick me into eating barbecue bologna, so I'll be on the lookout for that. That does not look good. Mm-hmm. Not happening.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. The Rockets get at it tonight. Portland, were you one of those people who was panicking over James Harden having a couple of off nights?
No, I was actually clamoring for it. I was wanting him to have some rest, and they're not a threat to lose in the first round. They may have, they may struggle in a couple of quarters against whoever is going to get the eighth seed. But even if they're not playing a lot or in sync, that's not a problem for this team. This team is that good. They can fade a little, being out of rhythm for a quarter or whatever. So no, I mean the Spurs have something to play for. The Rockets don't. No, none of that made me panic at all.
He needs to be hot when they get to the second round and the third round.
Yeah, and not fade.
And he needs an extended run. And I was talking off as in, not shooting well, but off as in taking a break from missing a game or something. That's people going overboard on that. That's if one night off now is going to make a difference in game six of the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors. He should have prepared his body for this extended run last offseason. It's too late now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just too late. So you don't need to play 40 minutes every night or anything like that, but he needs to be hot when the time is right, and you don't need to be hot now. You need to be hot when the playoffs crank up.
Yeah, and the shooting thing, no, that doesn't bother me because they're shooters. That's what's going to happen. You're going to go through a spurt where you're not shooting it well, but what do they always tell you in the NBA? Keep shooting. Shoot your way out of it. He's going to do that, and he's good enough to do that. So guys like him and Eric Gordon, no, it doesn't worry me if they have an off night or an off week. Now, once you get in the playoffs, a little bit different.
Night,
but right now,
be a problem.
Yeah. But right now, no, it doesn't bother me.
But this team is good enough that they can overcome that against almost every team in the NBA.
Yeah.
I was going to say Western Conference, but almost every team, period, except for one, the Warriors. Little Astros talk when we come back. 713-780-3776, the usual suspects.
The This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
No Joel Blank, Jerome Solomon in today. Let's check out the latest Masters leaderboard. I know Barry's all excited about that.
Are you one of those guys that's drinking the Kool-Aid with Tiger, thinking that he's going to make a top 10 appearance?
No, it's not Kool-Aid. He's the greatest golfer of all time, and if he's healthy, he'll be hard to deal with. Period.
The greatest golfer of all time?
Yeah, no question. It's not even debatable. But
I mean, numbers-wise, he's not. Right?
Numbers-wise, he is.
He won. Who's he chasing? Nicholas?
Yeah. And Nicholas won more majors, but that was a different era. He's at 18. Tiger won 14. But yeah, I mean, there was a time.
I will say
there was a time where Tiger. There was a stretch of years where Tiger
dominant
tee it up, and when he teed it up, he won half the tournaments he entered. I mean, it's phenomenal that he was so dominant. He's so dominant that Jordan Spieth is a young golfer, early in his career, right?
Uh-huh.
He's already missed more cuts than Tiger Woods has missed his entire career. 20-plus years of golfing for Tiger. Spieth has already missed more cuts than Tiger has. That's how ridiculous
he is. You did your homework on this one, didn't you?
That's not homework. That's just common knowledge. I'm an intelligent being.
Common knowledge. Nobody looks that much. You and like three other people care that much about golf that you would look into that deep.
No, it's not looking into. I mean, I will admit that. I mean, I spent almost 3 weeks in Florida following the Astros around. I had to do a lot of driving around, and he was playing Bay Hill, one of my favorite courses in Orlando. And that weekend when he made the run there, and the week before, both of those tournaments were in Florida. But you know, I'm listening to Sirius XM and I'm listening to the PGA Tour, so I'm listening to the tournament as I'm driving from, you know, West Palm Beach to Tampa, where the Astros played the Yankees on that Friday and that Saturday and Sunday. So, yeah, I listen to the golf on the radio. So you pick up these kind of things.
Okay.
It's like, you know.
You listened to golf on the radio.
Yeah, you don't?
I barely watch golf on TV. You think I'm going to listen to somebody be like, here's the shot. Oh, that's
basically win the whole time.
That went right. that went right.
Oh no. He looked out on him. Nice effort there. Yeah.
I couldn't think of any. I would rather listen to somebody play chess than golf. I couldn't think of something that would be more boring.
It's
on radio.
It's if you're a golfer, you can get into it.
I mean,
Hank Haney has a regular show, and I know Hank and I like him a lot, and he was Tiger's instructor, or whatever you want to call it, swing coach, whatever the official title was, for a good stretch of time. In fact, I covered the U.S. Open, the last major that Tiger won, when he won on a broken leg. He had to have surgery coming off of it in San Diego, and spent a lot of time with Hank that weekend. But yeah, so no, I can listen to golf on the radio. Mm. But I play.
You're the one keeping them around.
I played.
They're like, hey, look, we registered a .000001 in the ratings. Yeah, I bet Jerome's in Florida.
I'm the one. I played. You don't play though. At all.
I play. I haven't played in a while. I mean, I wasn't great. I if I'm going well, I'll shoot in the low 90s.
Yeah.
But my average round will be 100, 110.
Let's play sometime.
Okay.
Yeah, bring
you whoop my ass, huh?
Bring some cash.
No. Oh, hell no. I'm definitely not good enough to play for money.
What's the point?
No. To drink beer and enjoy the round of golf day.
I played the Floridian when I was out there in Florida. The Floridian counts among its, it only has a handful of members, but George W. is a member there.
Oh.
Barack Obama is a member. When Barack and Tiger play.
That's where they play.
A couple of times, yeah.
You're fancy.
I played there.
You're fancy.
It's such a fancy joint that instead of...
You have a caddy?
Instead of one hit... Oh, yeah, of course. Instead of one...
You got a white guy, didn't you?
Well, duh. I refuse to have a black man.
I will not have a black man caddy.
When I played at Augusta, when I played the Masters,
you made a white guy do it.
No, they sent me a brother. I was like, no, man, go get one of the white boys. Hey, boy, come over here. But no,
just leaving clubs everywhere. I don't want this.
I went in there. You know, I had a brother at the Masters. The Masters make you tiptoe around. You don't want to get. Yeah, you don't want to get tossed or banned from the joint. But the Floridian's so elite. It's a yacht club. So. Damn. Besides seeing all the yachts that are right behind the clubhouse dock there, they have two helipads.
Damn.
You know, because you don't want to roll up in your helicopter and somebody's
having to wait.
Somebody parked all in the way. Yeah, so they got to have two. It's that kind of
damn
thing.
Damn.
Hey, Jerome, do you have any quick thoughts on the whole Dilly Dilly being banned from the Masters? We were talking about it yesterday.
Yeah, did you hear about that? Anyone that yells Dilly Dilly will be thrown out.
I heard Fred mention that when he was talking to AJ yesterday. Yeah, act right. Act like you got some sense.
What's wrong with you? So I can yell get in the hole, but I can't yell dilly dilly. What's the damn difference? You're still yelling. What does it matter? What's the difference?
So if I say Barry, what's the difference if I say bleep, bleep, bleep?
Okay. Bleep, 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 bleep. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, there's nothing. It's not a curse word.
One you won't like, one you will.
Well, they're just.
I don't know what is dilly dilly anyway.
That's that Budweiser catchphrase. It's the. You never seen the commercials?
I don't watch commercials. So like, you don't go to the movies? I don't watch commercials.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it's Budweiser. They have an advertising campaign, and that's the big thing. There's like a king, and he's like, "Oh, look, I brought you some Bud Light," and the king's like, "Dilly dilly," and then some guy doesn't. So it's just
So you're a jerk if you're hollering dilly dilly.
No.
Yeah, you have to be.
No.
If you're repeating something from a commercial.
It's the equivalent of taste great, less filling. It would be like if somebody hits the ball and then you go, taste great, less filling.
Yeah, you'd be a jerk.
No, you wouldn't. Why is that? Why would that be a jerk? Like, if you
scream.
Let's say Phil tees off and you go, have a Coke and a smile. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with any of that.
If you scream something out.
Uh-huh.
There are only two categories for whence you can belong. Cool or jerk. Have a Coke and a smile, ain't cool.
That's not cool.
Dilly dilly, ain't cool.
No. So get in the hole. You're telling me.
No, get in the hole at least has something to do with the game.
Unless you're on a par three, get in the hole is just as stupid as dilly dilly, because guess what? It ain't getting in the hole on a par four.
I'm saying, I think that's silly too, and you're being a jerk if you scream get in the hole when the guy's 400 yards from the hole. Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't have a problem if they kick people out for that.
What? Well, let's just make golf not fun at all then. We don't want the fans having fun.
Does screaming dilly dilly make? How is that fun? Explain.
Because you
that
can't
to
do
me.
Anything else. You've got you. Hey, you guys. No cell phones. No fun. No pictures. No nothing. You sit. Golf and tennis is the only two where you have to be quiet. Shh,
okay, this guy can. But dude, where does dilly dilly become fun? We're not discussing the rest of that.
You're just yelling something silly to have a good time. At a sporting event.
That was my next point, though.
So when you up on stage doing.
That's different. That's different.
Doing what you do. If somebody. People out in the audience.
That's different. Heckling a comedian is completely different.
Huh?
Completely different.
No, and they just holler, dilly dilly.
Yeah.
And right after you finish the joke. How is that different? After he finishes a shot, you holler, dilly dilly.
Because there's another joke after.
There's another shot.
At the end of my show.
Another shot after that.
But I don't walk.
There's usually
I don't walk 300 yards to do my next joke. There's not this long break. It's joke, joke, joke. At the end of my show, if you want to stand up and yell dilly dilly when I say, hey, my name is Barry Almanac, thank you, good night, and somebody goes, dilly dilly, I don't care.
Right. And they wouldn't mind if you did that when the round is over and everybody's leaving. You go on dilly dilly yourself on to
That's
the
completely
car, to
different
the
and you know it. What? It's a sporting event.
Right.
As long as they don't yell, it's a comedy show.
You want them to, laugh out loud. You don't want them to laugh out loud?
I want them to laugh at the jokes that I wrote, prepared, and that everybody else paid to see. But you start disturbing the people around you at a comedy
dilly
show.
Dilly dilly.
At a sporting event, you're there dilly, to have dilly, a good dilly, time. Dilly. What's wrong with having a good time?
But it's okay at a basketball game, but it's not okay at a golf
tournament.
That's what
I'm saying. Right? It's a sporting event. Why can't I just cheer and have a good time?
Is it because of the culture? The golf culture?
It's uppity-ass white people is what it is.
Oh, now you're going to pick on us white folks. When did, yes, when did we ever do your black ass?
You won't let me yell dilly dilly. That's just, I mean, it just seems so stuffy. Like,
listen, you sitting here dogging people for dilly dillying in your performance.
That's completely different. It's completely different. Golf had better start to embrace the younger generation or they're going to have a problem. Similar to what baseball problem was, where they were just, oh, we got to be traditional. We got to stick to it. No bat flips, no having fun. Guess what? The younger generation doesn't want to watch that now.
The backflip I get, but the dilly dilly, I don't understand.
But that's
I don't see what's so enjoyable about that. Just like I wouldn't think it would be enjoyable for somebody to do that.
Just because it's become part of pop culture. And so, you know, like most things, people are going to take something that's pop culture and use it. And,
where's the beef?
Yeah.
That was hot. What,
yeah. That would be great at a golf tournament. Are you kidding me? That would be good.
That's what somebody would scream at your porno.
I mean, look, you don't know how cold the AC was. Or could have been.
You came in here talking about your nipples all engorged.
Yeah. What about wooing at an Astros game? Is that not good? Eric Graham brought that up.
They're outdoors. They're outdoors. No, they're not. The roof's closed. It's a different kind.
You know, Minute Maid doesn't keep the roof open.
Can we give Andrew 30 seconds before we break?
No, we got to go. We're 2 minutes past break. Don't you see the break schedule and the clock?
Oh,
we're
way behind.
That's the break schedule. We're two past.
Why are we still on
the air? Now we're three past.
When we come back, we got a boxing promoter going to talk about the fights tomorrow night. Professional fights here in Houston. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back into the show. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Now, my man Barry was saying earlier that he's going to commit suicide when he turns 75.
Yeah, he's going to end it.
He doesn't want to live to be old.
I don't want to have long toenails.
Because the toenail situation.
That's right.
You do know you can pay somebody to handle that for you, right?
No. Nope.
You pay for everything else right now.
You're not
right. I don't know why you told me all
snobbish right now, about my wife takes care of my toenails, so... That's free. Well, I mean, it ain't free. I got to do other things, but, you know.
Hold up.
No?
We got somebody to interview here, but we're going to get back to your wife cuts your toenail? This the same woman that you married in a drive-thru?
Yeah.
In the car?
That one.
Man, boy, you must really.
Because otherwise, there would be a wreck down there.
How long you been holding her hostage?
She's free. It's free will. She can go whenever she pleases. I mean, sometimes she don't come home, but still, you know. Like,
where's she chained up right now? She's going to get out one day and run up to a black man. Save me. Save me.
Why would she go up to a black man to get saved?
Because you know how you white people are.
Okay.
But we have joined us now, Joe Vredevelt, who is a boxing manager in town, and one of his clients is fighting on tomorrow night, in fact. Jack Juice Lucius, and Joe will tell us all about him. What stands out the most about Mr. Lucius is he hasn't fought in a while. And by a while, I mean he hasn't stepped in the ring for a real fight, a sanctioned fight. Since 1986, he spent 21 years in prison, finally got out a couple years ago. He's been working out, and now he's going to be, I'm pretty sure, I've looked up a couple places, at 62 years old. That's 6'2". He will be the oldest professional fighter we've ever seen. Joe Vredevelt joined us now on the show. Joe, real quick to start off with, thanks for joining us on the show here on The Usual Suspects. Tell us where the idea of having a man of this age step into the ring in a professional fight come from.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, well, the juice is loose. Let me tell you, man. This guy is something else. He is 62 years old, a gym rat. He gives guys a third of his age, a quarter of his age, a rough time in the ring. And he's the real deal. So it's his story, his abilities, it's something to witness. And like he said earlier, 21 years. He did 21 years on a purse matching.
Damn.
Got sentenced to life. So, I mean, unfortunately, he had another case. He was on probation for. He got picked up on a purse snatching on an ID only. No other evidence besides that was the guy. And got convicted and spent 21 years of his life in jail. And the only thing he wanted to do was get back in the ring. So we were happy to be able to find Mr. Lucius and give him this opportunity to set the record straight and to break a record himself. This will be a Guinness Book of World Records fight once that bell rings. He will take that title.
Now, this fight will be at the Arabia Shrine Center on Harwin Drive here Friday night.
Now, Joe, did Jack approach you? How did this all come about?
Well, my partner, Forrest Washington, who's the promoter for this fight, is also a trainer, and he knows Jack from Hank's gym and other gyms around the neighborhood, Savannah. And like I said, he's a gym rat. He's always in there. He's always training. He's always ready. And Forrest had made him a promise. He said, if I ever get my promoter's license, I'm going to make sure that you have that opportunity for one more fight. And he was a man of his word, and we put this thing together, and it's been a great endeavor, but a very hard endeavor. I mean, imagine getting a 62-year-old gentleman fit to fight and also get him approved through the state commissions and finding opponents and the sparring. I was Jack's sparring partner here for the last month, and we definitely got him ready, and it's not going to be a something just to feel good. This is something that's serious, and he's taking it very serious, and it's going to be a great fight.
Yeah, I've seen you guys were sparring last Friday, his last sparring session, and you getting dusted off there, man. How you like getting your butt beat by an old man?
Well, like I said, man, he gives young guys a hard time, and I'm not too young myself. I'm almost 40, but we were trying to give him some work, and he was giving me some. I mean, he's definitely at a point where he's fit to fight, and no different than any other person at this point. I mean, like they're saying, age is just a number, and I know Jack's big thing right now is to say, don't even look at the 62, flip it around, and it's 26 real easy. So, and he may be old, but he still punches like a mule, and if he hits his opponent, I think that opponent's going to have a very good sleep right there in the ring.
Yeah, I talked to him quite a bit yesterday. He's a character. He's very entertaining and an interesting story, and especially in that, I mean, a life sentence for a purse snatching. And
that's a
when
lot.
We say purse snatching, I mean, it was just the purse snatching. It wasn't like he snatched the purse and, you know, the person he snatched the purse from had a heart attack and died. It wasn't anything extraordinary. He was arrested shortly thereafter wearing a different outfit than what the victim said the purse snatcher was wearing, a different outfit from what the witness said was the purse snatcher was wearing, which was different than what the witness said. It was a real odd case. You're also an attorney.
It's the most premeditated purse snatching I've ever heard of in my life, where a man would have a backup outfit just 5 minutes later to change into and walk past the scene of the crime like nothing happened. I mean, who would be hiding in plain sight after a purse snatching and going through such a thing? But yeah, I'm an attorney. I practice combat sports law in addition to my bread and butter is criminal defense. So I'm actually taking Juice's case and trying to see what I can do to get him some clemency and try to file an appeal to maybe get this off of his record and clear his name. So everything I've looked into with all of the records on the case is just, it was a dismal trial. And he suffered. I don't like to throw any attorney under the bus, but his attorney was his very first trial. And I don't really think that they gave him his best opportunity, his best work. So it's something he definitely was subject of the system and continued to be that through his sentencing and his appeals in the case. So we're trying to do right by him and see what we can do to get this off of his record and really try to turn his life around. Although late in the game, it's I guess never too late to do something like that. And I think tomorrow night when he sits in the ring, one check's going to be off, and he's going to be able to fulfill those promises he made back in the 80s to be a professional fighter, and he's going to get that chance again tomorrow.
Now, Joe, I'm curious, who is he fighting? Like, how old is his opponent? How did this opponent get selected? What was the process you guys went through for this?
Well, we have matchmakers. The matchmaker we use is the one that works for Golden Boy Promotions, Oscar De La Hoya, and he has his connections, and he's fighting a gentleman by the name of Yael Aguilio, and he's a guy that's ready to come. I mean, they're both, Jack himself only had a handful of fights, and this gentleman is, I believe his record is 1-0, but he's picked, and the matchmaker gets obviously the skill levels, watching the fights, and their job is to make it a competitive fight. So Jack being off, I mean, what's that, about 40 years of ring rust? I mean, we matched it appropriately where it's going to be a great fight, and they're going to come to fight. But the matchmaker really goes into that and makes sure that they're at an appropriate skill level. And so does the commission, too. I mean, they're not going to allow a fight to go on that they think is going to be something that the combatants aren't going to be able to handle together. But I think this is a very, very evenly matched fight.
How old is he, though? That's what I'm curious. How old is Miguel?
I believe he, I believe he's 32.
Yeah, hey, okay. Joe, Jack told me he thought he was 38, and Jack said that means he's too old to be in the ring with Jack. Jack's like,
I don't know if he's that old, because I don't recall them having to get the special EKG.
Yeah,
and
there's
all
certain
that
things, yeah.
Done, but
yeah.
If he is, I stand corrected. But now, he's half the age, he's at least half the age of Juice. So.
That's crazy.
The weigh in is about to occur shortly here in about another 15 minutes or so. We'll say this for the crowd out there again: the fight is Friday night. I'll give you a chance to tell us where and where they can get tickets, etc., in just a second. But Jack said that once he meets the guy at the weigh in, if he likes him and he seems like he's a nice enough guy, he'll knock him out in the first round. If he doesn't like him, he's going to punish him and carry him for a little bit. So tell the people about where they can get the fight and where it's being held, et cetera, Joe.
Yep, the fight's being held tomorrow, April 6th, at Arabia Shrine Center at 10510 Harlan Drive. That's at Harlan Drive and Beltway 8. The doors open at 6 p.m. The first fight will start approximately at 7 p.m. So it will sell out, so make sure that you do come early, get those tickets. You can also go on nextfightup.com. It's nextfightup, and you can purchase tickets online. So,
and there are other people on the card, too. Give us a quick take on one. I know Arturo Marquez is on there, right?
Yep, Arturo Marquez. It's for those that know, Raul Marquez is a Houston native, Olympic fighter, world champion. His son is now turned professional. He is... right around, I believe he's around 8-9-0, and a real phenom himself, so up and coming. He's going to be on the card. He will be the co-main event. The main event is Curtis Colvin. He's a middleweight out of Austin, Texas. And also on the card is another Houston native, Rafael Abacue. He will be fighting for the Texas middleweight title. That's going to be a really good fight as well.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot. This is Joe Vredevelt to nextfightup.com. You can go check out the info on tomorrow night's fight. And it should be fascinating to see a world record being set.
You know, the good thing about being that old when you fight is you forget you got hit. Just like,
thanks a lot, Joe. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Hope to see you at the fight.
It's 62 true. 62
years old.
That's crazy, dude. There's no way. Like, I'll be 44 next month, and I trained for a while. I trained Muay Thai, which is boxing. It's kickboxing, but there's elbows and knees involved. There's no way I would go back now and train seriously, much less do boxing at 62. That's crazy. I don't care who his opponent is, as long as his opponent can throw a punch.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Jack's in good shape.
If he doesn't have a legit record of 1-0, yeah. He's fought somebody. That's cool.
Yeah, Jack says
because I've seen some pretty shady stuff.
He had some black market bouts while he was in prison. Uh-huh. You know, they used to set up some fights and everything. Yeah. And then he had a couple, you know, people try to test him in prison, and, you know, and the guards or whatever wouldn't tell the new youngsters coming in
that
this guy's a pro.
Nice.
Just watch him, you know, dust off some kid in prison. But I can't imagine doing 21 years something that he claims
for something
he
should have done a couple. And if
like
you
I said,
did.
I it's difficult to get into whether a guy's innocent or guilty of something. I wouldn't know. But 21 years for that's a purse snatch. And, you know, like I said, he had a couple other priors on there, and he just, they threw the book at him, literally. But I can't imagine how your life would be affected, you know, when you're sitting in prison for something you know you didn't do. And you never thought you'd get out. He was given life, so.
That's crazy.
Pretty amazing
for a purse snatch.
713-780-ESPN. OU Mike, we might let you on when we come back. Andrew is holding as well. We'll get to you two guys when we come back. This is Usual Suspects.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
No Joel today. Jerome Solomon subbing in. Real quick, we're going to grab Andrew here. But first, we're talking about Juice Lucius and his life sentence for purse snatching. And I've read the appeals and stuff. It literally was just the purse snatching, no injury or anything involved. I saw the story, I don't know if you saw it yesterday, about the guy who got a looter during Hurricane Harvey who got sentenced to 20 years yesterday. And like the headline here on ABC13.com says, looter gets 20 years for stealing cigarettes during Hurricane Harvey. And I was like, oh, that seems a little over the top.
Yeah.
But then as I read the story, one, he's on parole for a drug conviction. He took more than $5,000 worth of loot. So he stole TVs and some tobacco products, or a television, it says, and tobacco products. Plus, he drove a car through a window, drove a Ford van through the doorway at a Walmart and went in to loot the joint. So it's a little bit more than just, you know.
Yeah, you make it sound like they make it sound like he walked in, took a pack of cigarettes.
Right.
Yeah, that's definitely not the same.
20 is a little harsh though.
You got vandalism, breaking and entering. $5,000 isn't petty theft.
I mean, would they have sentenced Bob McNair to 20 years for that? No, they'd have told
Bob McNair owns the judges.
They'd have told him pay the damages, pay to fix it, you know. So it's, you know, poor man, you get locked up for 20 years. And he white. See, they ain't a race thing. This time, he ain't get shot. He ain't get shot. Y'all know he had to be black to get shot. Andrew,
you're not getting me. Every week you get me. You're not getting me.
Andrew, talk to us, man.
What's up, guys?
What's up, man? Dilly
dilly. Hey, man. I wanted to comment. Oh my gosh. So like, yeah, I want to give you a reason behind that. So,
okay.
I'm assuming it has to do with advertising. So I work for a beer company. And I worked the Shell Houston Open last year, right? So we spent a day before the tournament, putting all the neons up, all the stuff, you know, every beer paraphernalia, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So before the tournament every day, they have a guy that walks around, and if it's anything on camera, anything, you have to tear it down.
Right.
So basically, you can't have anything, even if you're a sponsor, if you pay for the sponsorship, on TV, you cannot show anything.
Oh yeah, no, that's it. I didn't even think of that, but you're right.
So Andrew, if I couldn't wear a Bud Light shirt to the course?
Yeah, you could wear, but they wouldn't put you on TV.
You can wear whatever you want.
Yeah, they wouldn't let you be on TV. It's like, I don't know if you've never covered a real sporting event.
Oh
wow,
you're
not a professional journalist.
Wow,
so like. If you had ever been to an NCAA tournament event,
I thought you said real sports.
they stand at the entryway into the court, all four corners. Like, if you're drinking anything and walking on the court, they will stop you.
Take
and
it away, put it yeah.
in a, they make you pour it in a cup that's whoever the sponsor is for NCAA. Okay. They won't let you drink anything other than out of those blue cups.
Ah,
so that's part of it. And
that
and
makes sense, though.
And the Masters, they limit who can be sponsored. That's why they don't have many commercials during their okay. airing. And that's why they're not on TV right now. They have a limited airing, so... They that's probably it, because if you're yelling dilly dilly, it is
against the
commercial.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Almost, right?
Now the next question for Andrew is, what time are you going to bring us some beer up here?
Hey man, anytime is beer dirty, right?
That's what I'm talking about. Appreciate the call, Andrew. Anything else before we let you go?
That's it, guys. Enjoy the show. Later.
Appreciate it, man. That does make sense, though.
You see how he just dodged the
yeah.
whole bring
yeah,
beer.
You know, it was worth the shot. I shot my shot. Whatever.
It's worked for you before.
Oh yeah,
I've been
plenty.
In here when
they're dropping off.
You got dude yeah. came in and bring you cases of Dr. Pepper. That was smooth.
That lasted a while too.
He brought a lot too.
Yeah, he did. That was yeah. badass.
Andrew, like, I ain't bring you nothing.
Andrew's like, yeah, well,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice show. Enjoy the show. Bye. I got to go.
Hey Andrew, can I get a beer? What? I'm going through a tunnel. Oh, now you're in a tunnel. You've been in a hole for 45 minutes, and now you're in a tunnel. Okay.
Oh, you Mike.
Yeah. I don't know how this
fight.
Is going to go.
Come on.
Oh, you Mike.
Put him up. Oh, that's
man, I'm going to take this guy's word for what he said. If he's falsely accused and did 21 years, I'm with him. I come out of prison, somebody getting an ass whooping. May not be in the ring, but somebody going to get an ass whooping.
I can hear you there.
Amen to that.
I can hear you there. I mean, man, can you imagine how angry? And I'll give him credit. He's
a positive dude.
He's a positive dude. He's not, you know, he's not at all angry. He doesn't come across as that. Now he's confident and he talks a good game. But he's a boxer and this dude has a fifth grade education. He his father killed his mother when he was 5 years old.
Damn.
And he left home and started living on the streets when he was 11. Quit, dropped out of school in the fifth grade. Went to the army and came out. Went to prison for 2 years for something that he later got clemency on. Went back into the army and finished up his tour there. Then came out, started a boxing career, and got popped. Oh, I didn't even mention this part. In his last fight, he broke his leg in the ring.
What?
And so he had a cast on. And he walked around the cat. And he gets arrested for purse snatching with a cast on.
Oh,
and gets 21 years. And he
just
even
jokes
about it. He's like, man, you swear somebody stole Michelle Obama's purse the way they, locked me up for
That's
it.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, man. Over the top. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. What are we going to do when we come back, man? What do you have a taste for?
Yeah, so I've got these. I wrote my sports map article, four bold predictions for the Astros. We'll see if you're on board with any of them. Also, got some interesting news about the Texans.
That
we're going to see
so
if this
exciting.
Is. Yeah, we're going to validate this news about the Texans and another signee today.
Okay, we can do that, but yeah. I'm excited about your writing.
Oh, shut up. No, you're not. Man, I just want to see what you think about my predictions.
Sportsmap.com with Jerry Lemelec writing it up.
I mean, you and I are columnists.
Using vowels and stuff.
What's about?
All them consonants all mixed up in there.
I got a lot of continents in there. that's not. No.
We'll be back with more Usual Suspects in a minute.
ESPN 97.5.